Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Hello, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, and I ask that you please support this ministry by making a donation of any amount today. You can give by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is $THCOGIC, and that's $THCOGIC. You can also go online to our website, that's trueholinesscogic.org, that's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the Give icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you can use our online form, or you can choose PayPal to make your donation. And remember, a gift of any amount will help us to continue to spread the gospel. And may God richly bless you for your generous gift today. And we at True Holiness thank you for your support of the ongoing work of this ministry. And now for today's message.
Get yourselves prepared for the word of God tonight from my own Elder Will Lincoln.
Amen. Amen. Thanks to God. Amen. It is my pleasure, amen, to come before you today. Amen. To deliver what thus says the Lord. And I believe that the Lord has a word for the body today. Amen. And I'll just go ahead and just start off and just give you, amen, the topic. Amen. And we'll then get into how, amen, the word of God, amen, fits around this topic. Amen. I was in communication with Brother Blake early in the week, and he sort of gave me an idea of where the theme was going with today's message. Amen. So the topic that the Lord gave me today was esteem others better than you. Level down. Amen. Esteem others better than you. Level down. Amen. For scripture reference, amen, today, I'm going to be coming from the book of Philippians 2, amen, and I'll be reading from the King James Version, amen, verses 1 through 5, amen, and then 13 and 14. Amen. And it reads, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputes. Amen. Paul starts, amen, Philippians 2:0 by making certain assertions, which may sound as if he is unsure or as if he's leaving it up to the readers to decide for themselves whether they believe in the assertion that he is espousing. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows of mercy. One could take this as if Paul was giving them a choice in the matter. But here in verse 1, Paul wasn't guessing, assuming, or allowing for options. with his if assertions. You see, what was happening here, big picture, Paul was actually outlining a very important principle, amen, that should be used when you're about to ask someone to do something, amen, that might be met with some resistance, that might be somewhat burdensome to them, that might take them out of the comfort zone, amen, and require more of them than they've been able to offer to that certain point. The principle that Paul espoused here was to provide the readers with information in verses 1 and 2 before he hit them with exhortation in verses 2 and 4, where he would emphatically urge, encourage, and advise them, amen, to go to another level in their Christian behavior. Paul was preparing to call them to another level in fellowship. And he knew that they probably weren't going to receive it well at first. So he starts off by reminding them of some truth, right? The ifs in verse 1 were certainty, not possibility. It wasn't if as if, you know what I'm saying, it might happen. These were certainty that Paul was laying on them. And he was actually encouraging them. Paul's about to give exhortation on the word of God concerning how they certainly should behave when fellowshipping amongst themselves and with others. And this was going to call for a sacrifice of selfishness and changing of their ways. Paul understood the flesh and how his message could be met with resistance. So he begins by reminding them of whose they were and the inner strength that they all shared. He reminded them of the love of Christ and how it should motivate them. And finally, he reminded them of the great depths of affection and compassion for others that every saint should possess. Paul was providing important supporting facts that he knew would draw on the emotions of the reader, amen, and encourage and motivate, right? He was building them up because he knew information is spiritual resources to carry out exhortation. I'll say that again. He was building them up because he knew information is spiritual resource to carry out exhortation. Paul understood that to give exhortation the what I need you to do without information, the why I believe you should do it, actually puts the hearer under a burden, because now I'm doing something and don't even understand why I'm doing it. And if it's something that I don't want to do anyway, it's going to be like going in one ear and out the other. So Paul chose to give them information and encourage and build them up. You know, I was brought up under the do it because I said so rule, right? I didn't like it. You know, it made me mad while I was doing it. And most of the times I did it halfway, meaning I didn't give it my best effort. You see, explaining the why provides the spiritual resource to carry out the what. And when you can say, I got it, you know, the light comes on, it makes the task much easier. Am I right about it? I know I'm right about it.
Amen. Amen.
So building off of Philippians 1:27-30, Paul begins chapter 2 by saying therefore, and it was sort of a carryover of something that he had already been speaking to the body about in the previous chapter, where he was dealing with the body about how to deal with external adversaries. And so looking at that backdrop, amen, and now he's moving over into the therefore, I believe what Paul was sort of matter-of-factly saying was, now, if the fact that you are in Christ has any power to influence you, which I know is working in you, if love has any persuasive power to move you, which I know that love is operating in you, if there is any fellowship that we share in the Spirit, which we certainly do share in the same Holy Ghost, if you feel compassion, amen, and pity, which is evident in the depths of kindness that you've shown me while in my bond, tending to my needs. He says, complete my joy, for my desire is that you should be all in full agreement, loving the same things, joined together in soul, your mind set on one thing. You know, Paul, he encouraged them, he brought them together, and he said, you should be working together in unity for one goal.
Amen.
And what is that one thing? That we should have our mind set on Christ. The one mind referred to in verse 2. The one mind, speaking of one intent, one purpose, and that purpose being his purpose, God's purpose, and living a life that reflects our faith in Christ and spreads the gospel, the good news regarding salvation through our faith in Christ, right? Before we can get there, there has to be some unity in the house. Amen. But how we treat each other and how we deal with each other. Paul finishes up his pep rally, and then he says it's game time, right? Paul built them up, right? And then he hit them with 3 and 4. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, that's a very short 2 verses, but I want to tell you that there's a lot to unpack there. You know, I like how Blake talks about keeping it simple, right? You know, but sometimes keeping it simple is just an excuse for being lazy, because when it comes to the Word of God, sometimes we got to dig in to the Word of God and get deep to bring out those spiritual truths that he would have us to know.
Amen.
Now, since you are saved in Christ and can do all things, this is what I believe Paul was saying to me. He said, now, since you are saved in Christ and can do all things, since we know that the love of God controls your every move as you walk with him, and since we've all been filled with and share the same Holy Spirit that empowers us to do good, so much so that we share in the same compassion and pity towards one another, says do nothing from selfish or empty conceit through factional motives or strife. Now let's unpack that. What are factional motives or strife? What is it that Paul is encouraging us to do here? Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit to factional motives or strife. Well, when you think of factions, you think of a small organized dissenting group within a larger one, right? And we can liken it to politics, right? Think Tea Party, the small faction that continues to grow within the Republican Party, that believes they know better how to run the Republican Party, how it should be run. They espouse hate and violence, right? That kind of goes against what the establishment used to stand for, right? And the establishment can't seem to get rid of them. And they won't conform to the Republicans' what they say the Republicans' true values are. Paul is saying, don't let these type motives remain in the body. Right? Now, because we know that they're there, meaning don't get in these small cliques where you begin to think you're better than other people in the body. Where you begin to think you know more than other people and leadership that's not in your little clique. See, this breeds discord, disharmony, right? It breeds conflict, not unity. Not one mind, not one purpose, working together toward one goal. This doesn't reflect our faith in Christ reflects one's faith in self. And we must put aside our own agendas and selfishness for the greater good, amen, which is coming together, amen, as a body, working together, so that we can then begin to do those things that God called us to do, such as the Great Commission, going out, witnessing it and everything. What good it would be for us to go out amongst other folks and they see us, we can't get along with each other.
Amen. Am I right about it?
So the next thing Paul says in the same verse is, but with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous, regard others as more important than yourselves. Now that's a heavy one right there. That's one that a lot of us, we have an issue dealing with. Amen. Listen, it's hard enough for me to esteem someone better to me that I respect, right? And we don't always like the folks that we fellowshipping with. But yet, Paul says that we should esteem others as more important than ourselves. You know, it's very hard to drive your own agenda when you think someone else is more important. When we begin to think of others as greater than ourselves, it becomes a little easier to put our selfishness aside, right? And we notice that because there are some folks that we respect, right? And when they come around, we act a certain way. Well, Paul is saying that should be the behavior towards all saints. We should esteem others as better, as more important than ourselves, according to the scripture, if the scriptures are to be believed. Right? In verse 4, Paul says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Once we put aside our selfishness and begin to view others as more important than ourselves, the next thing that will happen is we will begin to look out for the interests of others. Right? I like the way the Amplified Bible classic read, right? It said, let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interests of others. And get this, it's okay to look out for yourself and your interests, but God requires that we also are concerned about the interests and the concerns of other people, not just our own. Am I right about it?
God requires Amen. That we Amen. Also
be concerned about the interests and concerns of others. And when we come together to agree, if I have your best interests at heart and I consider you more important than myself, I will be as attentive to your needs as I am my own. A lot of times when we come together, we're thinking about ourselves. And oftentimes, in some cases, we just can't wait to get out of the meeting. Right? And we're not really concerned about the brother. Although we've heard all these messages before about we're one body. When one part of the body suffers, the whole body it should be suffering, right? When there's planning going on for an event and prices are being set, we shouldn't financially burden someone not financially well off as ourselves, unless we're willing to pay their fee for them. When dates are set and others want to attend functions, every effort should be made to be inclusive of everyone's time.
Amen, amen.
Right? If we're esteeming others as more important than ourselves, then we'll consider these things when we're doing these things instead of just grouping it and throwing things together. Paul says in verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the attitude that we are to have within ourselves, that we esteem others as greater than ourselves. This is a crucial point to our ability to come into agreement with one another. Paul said that this attitude was also in Christ, who did not regard being equal to God a thing to be grasped, but took on the form of a servant in the likeness of men. He leveled down. Jesus was God and could have demanded that he be treated the way, you know what I'm saying, treated as God, even while he walked here on earth, because the Bible says that he was fully God and fully man at the same time. But he didn't. He came down to our level. And some would say that he temporarily leveled down. And Jesus made it a point to reach out and help others. And get this, you know what self-preservation is? Self-preservation is the protection of oneself from, you know, harm or death, right? And it's regarded as the basic instinct, amen, in all human beings, I mean, even in animals as well, right? But Jesus was all about the lives of others, and he gave of his life. I would say that's the ultimate in sacrifice.
Amen.
And giving of yourself when you're the most powerful being and you humble yourself to be the least and regard us who are born into sin and shaped in iniquity, amen, to view us as more important enough to come down from heaven and give of himself. Verse 6 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Again, amen, I love how the Amplified pushed, just focusing on verse 7, it says, but he emptied himself without renouncing or diminishing his deity, but only temporarily giving up the outward expression of divine equality and his rightful dignity by assuming the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of me. He became completely human, but was without sin, being fully God and fully man. Yeah, when I contacted Brother Blake on this topic, amen, for today, he told me, he gave me his insight. He said, level down. And when I pressed him further, amen, he said, you know, when we look at the whole premise of the Bible, it's all about how Jesus coming down, leveling down, amen, to our level, just so that we could be saved and elevated in him. And my spirit agreed with that. And my mind immediately went to Philippians 2. You know, Paul said that Christ's mindset is the attitude that should be within each of us, dying to selfishness and pride and high-mindedness, leveling down. No amount of money, job status that we can have, or positions on the social ladders that we climb, you know, can make us any better than anyone else. And nor should it prevent us from taking the time to help anyone else that's in need, right? Whether they're in the body or not, because that's what we're called to. And so what Paul was asking the people to do, this was heavy, right? What he was asking. And now you can see why Paul had to lay the groundwork in verses 1 and 2, why he chose to motivate the people and encourage them, amen, and reassure them of what they were capable of because of whose they were and the power working in them. You see, this is hard for a lot of folks. You tell them to do this, and that, you know, immediately the flesh begins to moan and groan, and it's things that we just don't want to do. Amen. But the strength is within us already to do it, right? And Paul wanted to encourage and motivate the people to let them know that you can do this because, amen, of the strength that's already in you. But he knew the type of people who would be reading his word. People who still had issues with selfish ambition, self-glory seeking, you know, and people for whatever reason who would only be concerned with their own issues, trying to make it in life, right? Concerned with their own household and nobody else. Just concerned for me, my full, and no more kind of folk, you know, imperfect folk. But still trying to live for God, still claiming to love God, church folk, people like you and me, who are seeking to live a righteous life and please God. And I believe that everyone just like me, we're trying to please God, right? Amen? We're trying to please God. Anybody amen, like me, amen, want to please God, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We just want to please God and live a right life before him and be found in his will, right? Anytime God reveals something to you, you just want to be found in his perfect will, right? I mean, when it gives it to it, it might be kind of hard, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes the stuff he lays on us is weighty, amen, and we just got to go, Jesus, right? But eventually we got to conform to it, right? But get this, he won't lead us anywhere that he won't also make provision. It's no small coincidence that later, amen, in Philippians chapter 4, 13, Paul says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He probably knew about the murmurs and groanings that was coming from that weight he dropped on him, but he's letting him know, we can do this. The word of God comes to us all alike at all levels of salvation, babes, maturing, seasoned saints. We're all stumbling in many ways. Amen. And the word of God is there for all of our benefit. And can I tell you something to encourage you today? You know, to humbly defer to someone else's minor issues for the sake of unity in the body, it's a mark of spiritual strength. It's not weakness. When you know, we see folks and we want to think about how they're gonna feel. Maybe they feel like, yeah, they got us, or they beat us some kind of way, or yeah, they better than us. Yeah, they did this right here. I made them do that or the other. No, that's just a weakness on their part. When you choose to obey God and humble yourself and submit yourself, amen, amen, defer to someone else's issues in life, that's a mark of spiritual strength.
Amen, amen.
And there's a reward for you for it. When you give up your right to have something so someone else who needs it more can have, that's strength, right? And it's easy to, you know, to espouse, you know, the ideals of, you know what I'm saying, when these type of situations come up and someone else has a need and, you know what I'm saying, and we just want to have it our way to say, just deal with it, right? Or how about this right here? Obedience is better than sacrifice. I mean, we know that's scripture, right? But you know, sometimes we use that, amen, in order to get people to just conform to our agenda that aren't really God's agenda, right? Oh, I was here first. Better luck next time. The early bird gets the worm, amen. And I was up. You were still at home in bed, sleep, lazy. Don't know what's going on in that person's life. How about Ricky Bobby's statement? If you ain't first, you last. One of my favorite movies.
Amen, amen.
So in closing, you know, and just thinking about this whole idea of level. You know, we grow up with the goal of getting to the next level embedded deeply within us. I mean, you just play any video game, amen, right? And you understand, you know what I'm saying? And you work hard to go from one level to the next. It you know what I'm saying? It captures you in it. And before long, amen, you're going hard and all the time is passed because you're trying to get to the top level. You see how important it is to get to the next level. When we're born, we're encouraged, amen, and rooted by our parents and grandparents to crawl, right? You know what I'm saying? And then once we begin to crawl, amen, they want to see us walk, right? You know what I'm saying? To get to that next level, right? Amen. And then they, you know what I'm saying, they can't wait for you to get old enough to go to school, right? You get in kindergarten, you know what I'm saying? And you work your way to the first grade, the next level. And then it's, you know, a number of years later, middle school comes. That's another level, right? And then high school, you know what I'm saying? You're always striving to get to the next level, right? And after high school, you're encouraged to move to the next level, right? Or either go to college and then get a job, right? Those are another level, right? And then when you finally get the job, salary and position, amen, become the new bar. Because high position means higher status, and how I'm savage. But when I met my wife, it was different. I knew that I had to get on her level, right? To use a level down analogy, I had to humble myself in many ways to get her attention and to make her mine. I leveled down, whatever that meant. I found myself giving up things and stuff that would affect the relationship that I wanted to have. I found myself deferring to her and doing the things that she wanted to do. I made her more important than my feelings, giving of myself and putting her needs first. Stop running around, amen, chasing other girls, right? I had to become faithful to her. And once I got her, it wasn't much that I wasn't willing to do to sacrifice to get to that next level. I had to become a friend first. And then I became a boyfriend, right? We got engaged, and then the next level, marriage, came. And some may say that I leveled down to get and stay with her. That might be true, but baby, I leveled up when I got with the triple L. I don't know how you feel about your situation.
Amen, amen.
I leveled up, right? And listen, we give our hearts to God through Jesus Christ. And then we're encouraged to grow, to mature in relationship with Him. Part of that process is humbling ourselves, making sacrifices for the betterment of the relationship that we are in with Christ, right? That means being faithful to Christ, which calls for sacrificing of our will. The Bible says that if we suffer with Him, we'll also reign with Him. He came from heaven to earth to show us the way. The song goes, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. See, so I want to tell you, He leveled up. He didn't stay here. I said the level down was temporary because He went back to His rightful place in heaven. Amen. He leveled
up. Hallelujah.
And the Bible says that if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him, which means that you got another level up coming. Amen. Too. Amen. And it's on the way. That means that you win. Right? Everybody in the body wins. We all got a level up coming. Amen. But while we're here, we're called to humble ourselves, level down, so to speak. Amen. For the benefit of the whole body. Am I right about it?
Amen.
He did his part. Now it's on us.
Hallelujah.
And see others better than yourself. Level down.
For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.